Cheryl Fritz is now live in Lansing on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Welcome to Fritz and Friends.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Wayne Bierbauer, who is with the Police Officers Association of Michigan on their executive board, as a matter of fact. Good evening, Wayne. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Cheryl. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You know, I called this morning and was so happy when you were going to be able to talk to me. I pulled a story, at least 11 shootings of police officers in the last 24 hours, and the title of the article was Police Fear, quote, a war on cops. What's going on out there, Wayne?
Well, it's hard to tell. I've never seen anything like that. I was a police officer for 27 years prior to going full-time with the POAM as a business agent, and never has there been that many of our brothers die in that short a period of time. It's crazy.
I was just going to say, it's so shocking. I mean, you hear of a shooting with a police officer from time to time, and it's, they're all horrific. But when you hear the numbers that we're talking about, it's hard to even wrap your head around, and they're all such different circumstances. We can't say, okay, if we do this, we'll solve this problem. That's part of the problem, isn't it?
Well, certainly, and unfortunately right now we have a lot of different things coming into play. I think the budget cuts, the number of police officers on the road being reduced, I think makes a difference. And quite frankly, I think in general, the society right now has kind of become, I don't know, the violence. It just doesn't seem to have the, you know, stigma it did before. I think people have been kind of desensitized to it.
One of the things I read it in a couple of the articles and pulled pieces out of each one, and it, one of the talked about it, it's more dangerous to be a police officer now, the brazenness. You know, in the old days, I'm so old, but it used to, there, it seems the view towards a police officer has changed. The bad guys aren't afraid of the cops. And the very idea that they that a man would walk into the police station in Detroit and open fire is unfathomable.
Well, part of that, I think, is that this is the way people now respond to frustration. I don't know if we've done a poor job in society of teaching people how to handle their frustrations. And when things don't go their way, this is the way they take it out. I also think, in general, there's kind of a glorification sometimes through the video games and maybe even society's, you know, subcultures in general, that if you get a cop, you know, that's a good thing. So I think there's a lot of factors that are really coming into play now.
You mentioned budget cuts, and I wanted to talk about that. Clearly, from what you said, you're concerned that it increases the danger. If there's less cops on the road, the days of partners riding together, are those long gone?
Oh, absolutely. And that has been the case, unfortunately, for a while. But certainly when you come into a situation where you have two or three police officers arriving on scene, whatever the call is, a family trouble, a armed robbery in progress, the more officers present, the less likely that not only the police officers are going to get hurt, but also that the bad guys will get hurt. It's just more likely they'll give up at that point. So, yes, as we reduce the number of officers, the bad guys know this. They know that there's not as many to respond, and perhaps it's going to be an easier time to take things, to steal, to do whatever they need to do.
We talked about that the article, one of the articles I read did say when you ID yourself as a cop, it becomes more dangerous in a situation. And again, that's such a shock to me that. But as you said, the bad guys have lost respect for that, and cops have apparently become targets.
Well, I think that's kind of always been the case, but maybe more so now with the economic downturn. I think you have a lot of people that, if you are going to take this frustration out, and yes, as soon as you identify yourself as a police officer, you're now the most out front representative of the government, of the status quo, of whatever the issues may be going on that's caused your frustration, and consequently, this is where you're going to vent your rage.
One of the things I know, my daughter had trained as a police officer with local Lansing police and state police as well, and taking the word routine out of things like a routine domestic call or a routine traffic stop, that word doesn't belong there, does it?
No, and I have to be honest with you, the best training there is to always tell the officers, and my attitude always was, that there is no routine call. The most inconsequential situation could end up being the last one you deal with. Yes, you don't do that. Otherwise, bad things happen.
What is your background? You're serving on the as a business agent now with the Police Officers Association of Michigan. I'm sorry, but you have a long history with as a police officer.
Yes, actually, I started in 1979 with the city of Inkster, which is where I grew up, and then from 1980 to 2005, December of 2005, I worked with the city of Farmington Hills, and that was the department I retired from. And at various times, I was a range officer, evidence tech. I worked in the plainclothes surveillance for a while. I also taught precision driving at the two local academies, which is kind of interesting because the officer who was killed in Livonia, Larry Neheisel, I actually taught him in his academy class back in the early 90s.
Well, yeah, this is personal. For folks in law enforcement, this is very personal.
Absolutely, and very poignant that we would even be talking about it this time, because my first training officer in Inkster was also one of the officers killed in 1987 in that motel incident on Michigan Avenue.
I remember that one. Well, just going to your website, Wayne, it kind of tells the story. A recent blog post, Florida cop killer found dead in home, Detroit ID gunman who shot four officers, funeral arrangements for an officer killed in Walled Lake shootout. Boy, this has to change, and I sure wish there were some answers.
Well, unfortunately, the trend right now, as you pointed out at the beginning of this segment, is going the opposite way. And, 2009, 2010, looking at the month of January, there were 14 officers killed, which is actually about 43% higher than 2008. But what's really troubling is that the 14 who were killed this time in 2009, I think 8 of those officers were killed in traffic accidents, which, you know, happens. Still, you know, crushing, but it happens. In 2010, 10 of the officers killed in this month were from gunshot wounds. It's just a total change in the paradigm. And yes, it's not good. It's, to me, I think it portends real bad things in the future. I don't like the way things are going.
Do the budget cuts affect training as well for officers?
Hopefully not. Usually that's the last area, because you'll save more by reducing the numbers of police officers on the road than you will by cutting training. Generally speaking, the training standards can be kept up for the number of officers you have out there. Although, quite frankly, in service training, which would be like the things that we do routinely throughout our careers to update tactics, equipment, those type of things, those type of training may fall off a little bit, because if a department is short-staffed, they may not be able to send people to, you know, a week of training or a 2 or 3 day seminar, whereas in the initial police academy, you'll still have those standards maintained. So, unfortunately, the risk may be in ongoing training.
I think we're hearing from some reports I read some good news about the officers who were shot this last week in Detroit, that hopefully they're recovering well and possibly may even be out of the hospital by the end of the week. So, I mean, there's a little bit of good news here because we're looking for it.
Yes, thank God. And that's what I've heard also. It appears that they will be pulling through this. But, again, who knows how long before they're back on the job. And, you know, that's going to be several officers less on the street, manning the stations. The scenario is not a good one.
Is there any, and this may be a naive question, Wayne, but is there anything the public can do to help? Just be more eyes and ears for the departments? Is that what we can do?
Well, that always helps, quite frankly, in order to truly stem the, you know, if you have certain crimes going up, like breaking and entering into a house, we need the public to be the eyes and ears. Right now, I think we're kind of in a budgetary spiral that, you know, we're moving away from keeping the numbers of police officers out there, because at some point, even if you are our eyes and ears, we have to have the bodies to go out and handle the runs and, of course, to, you know, make the physical arrest, take them in, and, you know, start that judicial process. And that right now, I think, is the biggest problem. I think what we'd ask for the public is to be understanding that, you know, as things are pared down, perhaps if we can come up with some solutions that maybe keep more officers on the street, and, you know, it may involve, say, perhaps us all contributing a little bit more of our taxes than we have in the past for that particular area, considering, you know, we're probably paying a little bit less now than we did a few years ago. You know, that might be part of the solution, but unfortunately, it's going to come down to dollars and cents. How much are we willing to pay to keep our standards, our levels of police officers high?
And it does seem every time we hear about budget cuts being, you know, townships, cities, it does seem that police and fire are taking some pretty tremendous hits. The Police Officers Association of Michigan represents thousands of police officers. And what is your goal? What is your support of the officers?
Well, initially, obviously, we do the contracts for them, the labor agreements. So we help set the standards for their pay, pension, health care, those type of things. But also, we advocate in Lansing as well as in Washington for police officer issues, not only, you know, contractual things, but, you know, even more importantly, the things that involve officer safety and, you know, whatever bills we think, you know, help the officers. And, of course, things like this, we try to be out front and we try to be creative. We try to help, you know, the police officers and society come to, you know, an understanding so we can keep the numbers up, because we're way down from a decade ago. In this state, at least 2,500 to 3,000 positions, probably less in the state than there were back then. And, you know, we're getting into the point where now they've pretty much let the retirements go, as, you know, through attrition, haven't replaced them, and you're starting to see some local governments laying people off now. So we're actually moving to another step.
Okay. Well, you know, Wayne, I went a few extra minutes with you just because I'm interested in the subject, so I appreciate you sticking with me a little longer than I promised you. We'll stay in touch and keep on top of the issues affecting police officers in the state of Michigan. I appreciate your time this evening, Wayne.
Well, Cheryl, I appreciate you bringing this out and, of course, talking to us. That's very, I think, positive. It gives everybody a little different perspective.
Well, I think information is power, and the more we know, the better decisions we can make.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you so much, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Wayne Bierbauer, who is on the executive board and a business agent with the Police Officers Association of Michigan. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.